Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Let's meet the team. Hi, Gav.
Hi, John.
Right, coming up, I've got a great investment opportunity, courtesy of yours truly, the Teej to the Teejasaurus.
What do you got? What do you got?
What's Teej got? You'll find out. I've also got a warning about potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And Gav has a Victorian sportsman breaking the boundaries of his heroic little slot. Just enjoy this little sucker. That's not you. That's the name of the podcast. I'm not calling you a little sucker. You're actually pretty wise for downloading this. Yeah. Anyway, enjoy this.
Radio X.
John's really winding me up, Gav. John's
what's that?
Grinding my gears at the moment.
Yeah.
I just went to the Kazi. Yeah. And I washed my hands when I was in there.
Yeah.
I turn around and I suddenly see the door handle. I think, I've got to pull that to get in.
That's right, yeah.
To get out. I had to push the door to get in.
Yeah, I've been using my cuff every time I try and leave that bathroom.
Look what I've got. I've got a bent teaspoon. I've got this bent teaspoon I'm taking with me everywhere. Sorry, Gav's laughing. He's seeing my bent teaspoon. Looks like Yuri Geller's had a...
It does.
Been partying.
Looks like you were really concentrating on that spoon,
concentrate.
Johnny.
Concentrate.
Guys. Please concentrate.
Gav, could you tell them what you're seeing just at the moment?
What I've got here is a bent spoon that will help you stay healthy together if we really concentrate together.
Thank you very much, Gav. So I bent my spoon, and you know, it's very rare you start to sort of think, I wish I was Captain Hook, not the band.
Well, you'd want
that Doctor.
Yeah,
Doctor Hook.
That completely different
very
thing
different,
to
very
Captain
very
Hook.
Anyway,
yeah.
But it means I'm starting to use it now. I use the teaspoon bit to press all buttons.
Yeah.
And then I sort of put it up my jacket so it looks like a feeble little pirate.
Captain
hook.
Spoon.
Captain Spoon. And I hook doors open with it. But it's really annoying me.
Yes, it is.
I just washed it and then suddenly I've got a handle. So I went, really, it's one of those door handles. It's like a big...
It's really long.
Really long. Yeah. So I went right down to the bottom.
I do that.
But it already felt wet there. I realised, oh my God, everyone's doing this.
Everyone
so I'm just
that.
In a place of terror. So this is what we need to do. I got an email this morning from some doctor in San Diego that's a mate of my dad's partner.
Yeah.
And she was saying in this that the important thing is it's about not touching your nose and mouth, which you do subconsciously 80
times. Way more
times.
Than anyone realises.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So cigarettes.
No. Big no.
And also for the lung thing, anyway, and also because they're really harmful for you. Although, now the government care this much, you wonder what they're going to do when they find out how harmful cigarettes are for you.
Yeah.
You know, if this is what they've done with this one, you want to see the death toll from smoking. Christ, I don't know what the government's going to do. Anyway, double hinges, two-way hinges. They're my left-field investment opportunity for you, yeah?
Right.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
So, Gav, you know I'm obsessed with A Place in the Sun, yeah?
Sure, yeah.
Just because, as anyone will tell you, it's just very, very sunburnt Brits they talk to, who are talking to non-sunburnt Brits who want to look like that.
Yes.
And they basically just say how they just love the culture.
That's
and
right,
go,
yeah.
They'll go, and the woman doing it, I don't know the name of the hostess, but Gav and I, quite independently, become obsessed with the sound of her voice, which is, it's extraordinary.
It's unsuited to broadcast.
No, but it's just crazy. You can't stop listening. She's got just
this.
I
can't believe it.
So I'm going here, we're going upstairs. Well, we've got two rooms. It's a little bit over your budget.
When it comes to the Algarve, it's always important
it's like
to
someone doing
the local regulation.
A Mick Jagger impression.
It is like a Mick Jagger
it's
impression.
It's like a Mick Jagger.
Really
anyway, Gav. Dominic Raab, the Foreign Secretary, said yesterday between 300,000 and a million Britons were overseas. And he says an epic challenge to get back. He's saying you're better off staying abroad. That's who we need to appoint, her as the overseas minister.
Perfect.
To find homes for them all.
And to understand all the local legislation.
Yeah. Again, local legislation, particularly on planning, is a bit stringent. Right, if 100,000 of you want to step this way, we're all going upstairs. I just love it, to lead people like some sort of Pied Piper.
It'd be
leading
great.
Leading them like Moses.
Absolutely
to this
brilliant.
Promised land of all those empty flats in Spain where they filmed a few Top Gears. Do you remember?
Yeah.
There was like 500,000 uninhabited places.
They had a whole airport that they weren't using.
Yeah, Benidorm. It's just all empty, all these flats because they thought we'd all be coming out. It's like,
yeah.
Right, if the next 10,000 want to go in there, it might be...
You lot take that whole street.
And then you've got 10,000 people all pour themselves a drink going, we love the local culture. It's the culture. It's the culture we like over here. The culture. Me, I look like a literally a pigskin suitcase.
And open another bottle.
And she's drunk. Yeah, well, you can drink very tamely here.
Radio X.
Princess Beatrice will only be able to have two guests at a wedding.
Two?
Yeah. Church of England rules limiting people attending. The priest, the bride, groom and two witnesses. Can I tell you, televise that. Yeah?
They have to CGI.
Brilliant. CGI it.
Get like the background from Titanic or something.
Gladiator. With
the No. Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Yeah, just have that going on in the background.
With orcs.
The massed ranks of the Blues and Royal Orcs.
And now the large tree.
Parade.
The large tree folk.
Parade down the mall as the tree folk
lay into them violently.
The Duke of Edinburgh, Ramrod Stiff, himself a veteran of several trysts.
And now inevitably the appearance of Sauron.
Or just Gladiator.
Oh, that'd be great.
Gladiator, yeah. And stick the royal family in the box.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Or maybe a cup final crowd.
Yeah, cup final.
Just stick a cup final crowd.
No. Just in silence with a priest and two of them. Because at the moment, the royals, they can't look like, you know, they're spending conspicuously.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
A really low budget affair. But also, it gets the spectre of the Duke of York out the way, because that could have been inconvenient at the moment. I'm not going to dwell on that.
No.
But like really low key.
Just a couple of friends or a couple of cousins or something.
Just things.
Registrar pulls out a big biro from the pencil case.
Fantastic.
It appears to have plenty of ink in the bic. Looking close up to the ink, about midway, probably.
Some of the ink has clagged up a little on the ballpoint.
Clagged. So this could be because one of the witnesses is obviously going to be him.
Yeah.
From his side, from Eduardo Mappelli Mozzi.
Uh-huh. From his side of the family.
Yeah, he's, where's he from? Birmingham.
Okay.
Oh, no, Italy.
Must be Italy.
So he's there.
He must have the Occhi di Lupo.
Yeah. We don't know if he's got... I'd love if the commentator said that.
Eduardo Mappelli Mozzi, his eyes. Occhio di Lupo.
The eyes of the wolf. He might have Occhi di Gatto.
Yeah, he might.
Eyes of the cat.
Eyes of the cat, yeah. Di Gatto. I thought it meant eyes of a cake.
No. Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Thank you very much for all your texts into 83936. It's the 4 till 7 thing. I'm your teacher. The Teej is really appreciating all your texts coming in. So many great texts coming into the Teej.
Sure.
What was that text someone sent in just a second ago?
Paul gives us an idea. He says, as the Teejster puts on a masterclass of speaking in the third person.
The Teejster loves it.
It gave me the idea to do this while we're isolated at home, as it feels like there's more people about the house.
Can I just say, TJ approves, yeah?
You can have a party with that kind of information.
I told you a while ago, there was a guy you know called James.
Right.
And he was a mate of quite a nutcase, I know.
Yeah.
And, a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And he was telling us a whole story one night. It was the first time we ever met him. He was telling us a whole story one night, just going, literally, it was in a bar. He's going,
yeah.
So James is standing there like, what the heck?
And he's told a whole proper story about
it. And James is thinking, what's going on here? So I'm thinking,
Who's this James guy?
He's talking like we all know James. At the end, I've realised it's him.
Did everyone sidle away from him?
Yeah, really, really fast. He's like, what happened? I said, I'll tell you exactly what happened, mate. James.
Yeah.
Radio X.
Can I just say to everyone, Stone Island shut, I notice.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? Doritos were cleared from my supermarket shelf on the weekend, and it's going to get ugly now.
Stone Island shut, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Stand your ground, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, Stone Island, who do you think you are? Stand your ground, yeah? I went past it today. I was looking for a lightweight jacket. But also because CP Company do jackets with like goggles and built-in things. I wonder if they've done a special jacket for this.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this is the 4 till 7 thing. Absolutely live on your Radio X. So the church, yeah?
Yeah.
It was a Sunday like no other day, a day of virtual vicars and communion for one. When parish churches closed their doors and priests took to the internet to preach their congregation. I'd say churches have got no business shutting.
Yeah, well, don't they have to stop everyone gathering?
Don't kid me, there's enough crowd, so you're not going to allow 2 meters.
Well, that's certainly true near my local church.
Let me tell you, social distancing has been happening in churches for quite some time, like the Reformation.
Unless there's telecameras.
Yeah.
For songs of praise, in which case it's rammed.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
Keep the cameras away, don't worry. They'll be socially distanced. Everyone gets a pew each. Yeah. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, no more than one or two to pew. Right. Yeah.
Also, can I say, if you do get a bit of a rush, it's because churches are locked the whole time.
Yeah.
That's why.
Sure.
All you got to do is your parishioners have got, just got to swipe in.
Yeah.
Simple as that. You know, you're a member of your... A church isn't a building, you know, Gav.
No.
A church is a group
of
people.
It's a group of people.
It's a group of people.
It is.
So that's all you got to do to stop people nicking stuff. You can get in if you swipe in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've just got to have church boot boys. like the Knights Templar were, essentially.
Enforcers.
Yeah, just to make sure anyone nicks things off the church, they get bashed up, livened up.
Yeah.
Okay, Gav, which I know is not very Christian. Gav, here's the point. Is if they're having virtual services...
Yeah.
And people are watching online, then give them a show.
Yeah. Give them a proper show.
Give them a proper show.
Absolutely. You've got a production now.
Yeah, but also, don't just have local vicars. They're all appalling speakers.
Yeah, they're not good performers.
They're not good. They really make the Bible. It's an amazing book. The story's in there.
Yeah.
How do you make it dull? Oh, I'll tell you that. Yeah, just give it to a vicar.
Give it to a vicar.
He will indulify it.
He really will. He'll get you sleepy.
He'll indulinate.
He will.
And God said unto the Canaanites, take thou thy people unto the... Yeah, but anyway, the only thing that ever lies up is when someone lets one go.
That's pretty much it.
That's the most interesting thing.
I think
you can
that's the rules. Yeah.
Right. So, if they're going to do it, then at least while they're telling, while they're preaching the sermon or doing the reading that day, let's see it. Let's see a miracle.
Let's see it enacted. Yes.
CGI, right?
Definitely. Yes. I want to see C's being parted.
Yes, exactly right.
Absolutely.
Give them a show.
And instead of a collection,
why
don't they start donating a bit of money?
Gav, the church doesn't. The church is... Remember the church? You're talking about a body of people that invented tax.
Yeah.
Do the government give? I think not. Okay, Gav. Someone said Churchill reality.
I love that idea.
Thank me later. I'll thank you now, Rich, in Preston.
Yeah.
They give them a show. Just remember, the preachers of old used to really bring that alive.
Fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone.
Yeah, it really was.
So now you've got to use CGI, right?
Use the full effects.
Full effects.
Absolutely. Have the priest floating in on a cloud as he speaks.
Yes. If you're going to do virtual mass, and the transubstantiation takes place, actually, how's it? It was lumps of flesh.
Yeah. And maybe God in the upper corner of heaven looking down, smoking a pipe, going,
well done. I disapprove of any images of the Almighty Gav.
We can't know,
I take quite an Islamic line there.
Right.
And there should be no imagery, because otherwise it goes the way of Santa.
He's not just a man.
Yeah, right. Right, that's speed bump two on the highway to hell. Santa one. God second. The other guy with a beard.
Yeah.
Okay. Gav, actually, I'm not going to tell you into more stuff about the church, because I don't want to offend anyone. And if I have offended anyone, I'm really sorry. It's a time where a lot of people will be reaching for religion, because I don't know why, quite.
Solace, John.
Solace, Gav. And also, you never know, right? Okay, stop what you're doing right now. I don't mean stop listening to this podcast. That'd be crazy, especially as I've got some great news. You've all heard of Disney, right? Of course you have. What about Disney Plus? Okay, now I've got your attention. And that is the effect of the plus. I'm thinking of adding one to my name, actually, because of that effect. Johnny Plus. All right, Johnny Plus. Sounds good. Disney Plus is the new streaming service, home to endless entertainment and the greatest stories from Pixar. You got Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, and, you guessed it, Disney. A monthly subscription of $5.99 gets you exclusive originals, never-before-seen films, TV series, documentaries, and much, much more. It's awesome, and you can get it now. Like right now. Don't get left behind. Search Disney Plus UK online to start streaming.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
So, Pablo Escobar, much maligned.
Yes. Yes, he gets a bad rep.
He really does, Pablo.
Yeah.
He's a man I admire immensely.
For his civic duty.
No, just a way, I'll tell you something, though. If you do read that book by his brother, I think Robert Escobar, which is a cracking read.
Is it?
He was his brother's accountant.
Okay, right.
And I told you, don't cheese salad it. No. There's one breathtakingly good piece of information in this book that you get to. As Pablo's accountant, this is how much money they were making at one point, right?
Yeah.
At one point, they were making so much money, they were spending $2,500 a month on rubber bands.
For the cash.
For the cash.
Wow.
Now, they weren't going to Ryman's for that. They're getting those costs from a stationer's warehouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's back in the 80s.
Wow.
Man alive.
That's a lot of rubber bands.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been aspiring to the wrong thing. There's me aspiring to money. It's not, it's rubber bands, man. Anyway, get this. When the drug baron, it's one of the best books, apart from Finding Pablo, which is an absolutely fantastic book about the search for him. But that book is a really interesting, it's an absolute, it's a peach, Gav. It's absolutely
real peach.
It's absolute peach, that one.
Yeah.
When the drug baron, Pablo Escobar, was shot dead in 1993, can I just say, he never was tried? All right? We don't know. We don't know that.
We're not sure it was him doing all that.
No, no. That was never... Well, he was. Okay, he built his own prison and stuff, but I've thought it was stitched up. Anyway, he had four hippos in his private zoo. They were left languishing in a pond on his ranch, these hippos.
So he just wasn't worried about. Once he was shot, that's it? They were just
Well,
left.
He wasn't worried after his shot, Gav, because, no one was after that.
Wasn't in a position to.
Turns out they're only pretending to like them for the boss. Yeah, right. Just shows you where loyalty goes.
It does, yeah.
And you got to think, I need
in
to...
In that game, John.
In that game, you got to recruit people. Literally, after you shot, they'll still look after your hippos.
He's the kind of guy.
No, that's after the CIA's
put. Guy that after you've been shot.
After the CIA's put 108 bullets in you, you still want to know they're going to look after your hippos, right?
Right.
Anyway, now these exotic pets are being hailed by scientists as a model of how to rewild the planet. In the years since Escobar's death, the hippo population in Colombia has grown to as many as 100.
What?
In the country's rivers, right? Well, do you know something? It would be the same. If you think where South America was, it connects right up to Africa.
Yes, it does, yeah.
It's the same rock.
Yeah, and it's the same sort of latitude as well.
It's the same.
Yeah.
So it's where they drifted apart. So you've got the same rock, same fauna, not the same fauna, but same certainly similar flora.
Yeah.
I said way out of my depth. but anyway, a study suggests Escobar's hippos have restored patterns of ecological behaviour that have been missing from much of the continent for tens of thousands of years. Let's give Pablo a bit of a round of applause.
Well done, Pablo.
Very few shows do this.
Hippos, yeah.
Very few shows give Escobar a round of applause.
Right.
But what he did for hippos.
Yep. Radio X.
Hi there. This is the 4 till 7 thing right here on your Radio X. I was just telling Gav about an incident with Lionel Blair.
I know. What a story.
Strictly, yeah. It was quite a story. Quite a story.
Who knew?
There's a few things that are quite ironic here, Gav.
Go on.
First thing, prisons are in lockdown.
Right. Yeah, I've read about that.
What? They?
As what?
What? No, I just...
They are kind of...
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some that are open, but here's another one that's a bit ironic. You sort of think, lockdown in prison, sort of self-isolation.
Yeah,
you sort of think once people are in single cells, banged up for 16 hours a day, which is the situation in some places. But get this. And also, I mean, it's 23 hours a day anyway, and that's when there's like three in a cell in a local prison.
God.
And that's like 1 hour exercise, not even that, if the weather's clement. Mm. Get this, Gav. Jordanians, so in Jordan, they face a year in prison for stepping outdoors.
Wow, that's draconian.
Well, no, but also you've got a question that... Well, yeah. I mean, you're already in prison then. I don't know, unless you've got a really big house.
Kind of, yeah.
But if you're living in a tiny, awful bedsit in Jordan...
Yeah, stepping
and
out
you step
can be
outside,
dangerous anyway.
You've got to weigh it up, haven't you? You've got to think, so, well, actually...
Yeah.
You know, I get my own room there.
Wow. Good point.
My mate says it's all right.
Well, God, it must be
I don't
a
know,
worry.
They're not going to miss the pub, are they?
Yeah.
But the good news is, Gav, are you ready for this?
Go on.
This really, really cheered me up. Garden centres reporting a surge in sale.
Right.
Of seeds, compost, householders plant their own food. In response, it's a real wartime vibe, right?
It really is, yeah.
They're going to be asking for our pots and pans next.
There's going to be singing on the underground.
I bet they'll be singing if there's anyone there, Gav.
Yeah.
But they, householders are planting their own food in response to the coronavirus crisis. Dobby's, a garden centre chain, said sales of seed potatoes were up 60% with soft fruit seeds also in high demand.
A lot of jam making.
A lot of jam making going on. A lot of jam making.
Sure.
With all that sugar that's not flying off the shelf.
Jams
and
preserves.
Can I just say, be very careful with potatoes.
Why?
Because they're just really hard to get rid of, Gav.
Well, they just carry on growing.
They carry on without you.
Do they?
Oh, God, yeah.
I've never grown potatoes.
Oh, potatoes don't care about gardener. They'll carry on. No, they really will.
They're like underground triffids.
No, we once dug it. When my dad started watching The Good Life.
Oh, he went
years
for it,
ago,
did
he? Started,
yeah.
He thought he'd get an allotment, which actually is apparently really lengthens your life. You got an allotment, according to, because you get fresh air, which we found out last week.
Cool.
Is good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing revelation.
Wow, who knew?
That was incredible, yeah. And we went in there to get some potato. You know, my dad started planting potatoes. Yeah. He became really enthusiastic. He bought a cow.
Wow.
I know, it was pathetic, really.
Did he really buy a cow?
He bought a cow, yeah.
A cow.
He did, but he bought a Jersey cow called Jane.
For milking?
Yeah, he went halves with a local artist. I didn't realise.
That is so funny.
I came back one day, I was looking for milk in the fridge. It was just a steel bucket full.
What the hell?
Well, it's bloody marvellous.
Well, it tastes weird, bloody this marvellous. Milk,
yeah.
Dad.
We had a tiny little place to keep it as well. It just felt really cruel. I was like, Dad, they need more than this.
They need some space.
Well, I should be fine, John. I go, Dad, you went off and bought a cow. Yeah, I bloody did. I borrowed a horse box from Len Britt at the sailing club. And I tell you what, it's bloody marvellous. Incidentally, Len was my dad's hero. You know why?
Why?
Because he made a lot of money he used to drive Rolls Royce. He made a lot of money he had a DIY store. He used to be a local builder.
Right.
And
retail.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no, he didn't have a Rolls Royce. This is a story about Len's not having a Rolls Royce, but he was a very wealthy man.
Yeah.
And my dad saw a Rolls Royce in the car park of this sailing club. It's like a reservoir sailing club. I think it's not a big.
It's a very big deal if a roller shows up.
So there were people admiring it.
Yeah.
And Len is a Yorkshireman.
Yeah.
He said to my dad, he says, I don't know what they're making such a fuss about. He's gone, what do you mean? He goes, you can only get about 200 weight of cement in the boot. What's his reply?
It's not a good vehicle for
Deutsche. But he was a really practical, pragmatic Yorkshireman. You only fit about 200 weight of cement in the boot. Seriously, I wouldn't get one.
Rubbish.
Yeah, anyway, what was I telling you about? Oh, digging for recovery. Yeah, potatoes, they just come back.
Wow.
They're like the sodding Terminator.
Wow.
You plant a potato in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay, then you dig up a sort of clump of them, don't you?
When my dad went in there with the rotavator to get the ground ready for his allotment, because it had been an allotment during the war.
Right.
During the war. We went in there. There was potatoes still growing in there from 1945.
Kidding?
No.
You're kidding. Vintage potatoes.
They carry on without you. They don't need gardener. Believe me. It's harder not to grow potatoes once you start it. Believe me. You try and stop them.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
So, here's weird. I used to play golf in a village called West Clandon. In Surrey.
Far from me.
No, until I outgrew the course. It's a very young course. It's got the most lovely 18th.
Has it?
Yes, it's got a water hazard that it just wants, the water wants to, it wants to take your ball, Gav. It just wants it.
It's a magnet.
Yeah, it's one of the finest 18ths in the home counties, I think, personally. I think because you're playing right into the clubhouse. There's no hiding place there.
Wonderful.
It's unforgiving.
Everyone sees.
Yeah, and everyone, it's one of those lakes that just wants your ball. It just wants it.
It just has to have it.
Doesn't matter how much, it doesn't matter. Anyway. Valerie Pettit lived there in West Clandon. She was a retired Foreign Office secretary who lived quietly with her sister, attended church regularly, and enjoyed the opera. Yeah?
Yeah.
But she was in MI6. Not only was she in MI6.
What? Yeah,
she was deputy to the head of MI6 Soviet Operations Section in 1978.
Wow.
And she was the woman who framed the escape plan for Oleg Gordievsky, who was an officer in the KGB, who was recruited by British intelligence in Copenhagen 5 years earlier. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is to show how cunning they were.
Wow.
Just the cunning. And however much you sort of think, people sort of go, no, they wouldn't do that. It's a conspiracy. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
The way they signal things or had to do things back then, you know, non-digital age, which perhaps was an advantage, really.
Yeah.
But get this. So she drew up. This woman drew up opera. She looks like a good old girl.
Yeah.
Or she was. Yeah. She drew up Operation Pimlico because he'd asked his handlers because he wanted exfiltrating.
Yeah.
Exfiltrating
from Kevenholm.
Yeah. Yeah. From the Soviet. No, from the Soviet Union. He was in Copenhagen because that's where they were at a conference. Okay. Anyway, because they trusted him. So, Pettit drew up Operation Pimlico. Passport, no, probably because of Passport to Pimlico, you know, because it's
a film, yeah.
Well, also MI6 up around, well, was up and around there. Anyway, here we go.
Okay, yeah.
So, if Gordievsky was seen standing on a specific street corner in central Moscow at 7:30 on a Tuesday night holding a carrier bag from Safeway.
Right.
I don't think that's Safeway.
Well, that was a message transmission.
Yes, yes.
Of its own.
That was the signal he needed to escape now.
Wow.
Right. So, an MI6 officer based in Moscow under diplomatic cover, something we always complain about other people doing, but we're
not us, no.
Easily the worst at. Actually, we're not the Americans. Actually, no, they
are. Everyone does.
Anyway, an MI6 officer based in Moscow under diplomatic cover would acknowledge the escape signal by walking past Gordievsky holding a green plastic Harrods bag and eating either a Mars bar or a Kit Kat.
No.
I mean, for me, that's pretty blatant, though, isn't it? How to stand out in
Russia,
in Soviet Russia in 1978.
Where they didn't have Kit Kats.
No.
at all.
Or chocolate,
or
probably.
Harrods.
Or shops.
Or Safeway.
Well, it's probably a bit like it is now in Britain.
Yeah.
Or Lurock, Gaff. In fact, I've got to tell you.
We're there.
Cut to my local Sainsbury's. You've pretty well got the scene. Anyway, that's what they did. So in the second phase of the plan, he made his way up a secluded lay-by in the woods south of the border with Finland before being smuggled across the frontier in the boot of a diplomatic car driven by an MI6 officer. And that was it. The Moscow signal site was monitored every Tuesday evening for 7 years, rain, shine or snow.
Wow.
That's how important he was. Anyway, actually, it was a bit later than 78. He finally went in July 16th, 1985, which is my birthday. How weird.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's anything to do with me, obviously. Cause
no,
it's probably not.
Obviously not. No.
It's almost definitely not.
Definitely.
Back then, I was a grill chef.
Absolutely.
Working in the West End.
Radio X. Radio X.
Right, it is exactly 10 to 5 every single day. The Woodman furnished with a hero today, no exception. And as tradition dictates, he is 4 minutes late for his hero. Gav, tell us who it is.
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is Julius Caesar. He was born today in 1830 in Godalming, Surrey.
Okay, I got what
he was one of seven. Son of a professional cricketer called Benjamin Caesar.
Okay, I'll show you down.
And
here.
His wife Anne, who's
I can't believe you let me actually intro. Hey, what did I say? The Woodman's.
You thought it was the Roman Emperor.
I thought I was being really clever by going the first international tourist, really, to this. I meant package tourist, because 55 and 50, what was it, 54 and 55, he invaded it.
So he was a right-handed batsman and fast bowler, and also a fielder at point. And his fielding at point was described as extremely beautiful.
Anyway, can I just say to people listening, we're now not talking about, obviously, Julius Caesar.
No, we're talking about...
No, the Romans didn't... I'm just saying, the Romans didn't play cricket.
No.
Gav, you don't think, oh, I never knew it was a Roman game.
No,
he means it's a cricketer, it's a separate guy.
Cricketer from Surrey in the Victorian era.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Whose parents decided to call him Julius Caesar. So he's at 16 years old, in 1846, he competed in a 1v1 single wicket match in Surrey, at Godalming Cricket Club, and this is the Surrey Gazette report.
Can't you say?
It said, having fetched 58 runs in his second innings, just one versus one this was, the lad promises to be noted in the game of cricket as much as his ancient namesake was in the art of war. The Godalming Club are ready to back him against any lad of his age in the county of Surrey.
How about that? Can I just say, Gav, it's one of my greatest sporting achievements. Against all odds, and as a complete outsider, I won my school single wicket.
Did you?
Yeah, I just went in with a sort of a yorking ball, and the guy I was up against, a guy called Wilson, who's a really good cricketer, for some reason...
He couldn't hit it?
No, he just batted his own stumps down.
No!
He just went right back and he
And
played.
You got the wicket straight away.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Brilliant. Anyway, Julius Caesar went on to play 194 first-class matches. Can you believe the first... unofficial England match was in 1739.
I can, yeah.
The first official one was 1877. This is right during his era.
It's weird, because so football's 1863, rugby 1871,
It's mad, yeah.
But cricket just goes back and back and back. Go
so
on.
He got three centuries, he got 10 half centuries. He batted once with John Wisden.
What was that date again?
Which date?
When going back to 17, what was it?
39.
Wow, Gav!
I know, it's really old. So he batted with John Wisden, who was the John Wisden of Wisden.
Yeah.
He also played with the first ever tour by an All England 11 to America, organised by Fred Lillywhite.
Right.
So that's Mr. Lillywhite and Mr. Wisden.
Wow!
He ended up as cricket coach at Charterhouse School. He coached Aubrey Smith. Do you know who Aubrey Smith is?
No.
This guy. He was in Hollywood as an actor. He was in
old
black and white films.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Look him
Good
up.
Good Lord,
you'll,
Holmes.
You'll know his face, yeah. Aubrey Smith actually captained England at cricket. He once had to use a runner between the wickets because he had a bit of gout.
Yeah.
And Julius Caesar...
Did he?
...unfortunately died young at 47 of dropsy.
How about that?
Let's salute him anyway for having a great name. And happy birthday, Julius Caesar.
But also having dropsy.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Julius Caesar. Wow. The Woodman there with his hero. You can get a hero always on the 4 till 7 thing. Always 4 minutes late. So, right, Gav?
Lovely.
That was stunning, Gav.
Right on time.
Died of dropsy. That's how a gent should go.
It
with
really
a bit
is.
Of nagging gout.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
Every Saturday between 11 and 1 on the Kickabout, Gavin and I do a thing called Mexican Handbags.
We do.
It's those observations of everyday life. You take the old and simply add a place and an action and or an object. On this show, we make the handbag and you define it.
It's time for Mexican Handbag!
Today's Mexican Handbag is... Spin it. The old Barnsley.
Barnsley?
The old Barnsley. Go on.
Wow.
That was really wobbly.
Really need to oil that.
We went for butter and then butterfly.
Wow.
Just shows you. So it's the old Barnsley butterfly. Right, I'll tell you what it is.
Go on.
Just a clothes moth. Just a moth.
You hate moths, don't
I hate
you?
Moths, yeah. The old Barnsley butterfly. Just a horrible little silver whatever they are. Hate them. Or...
Go on.
Just the old Barnsley butterfly. Someone who you knew at school. And they were like squat, greasy, spotty individual.
Yeah.
And sort of... portly.
Yeah.
And you meet them years later, and they've now got, like, everyone working out.
They're all cut and chiseled.
They look miles better than you do.
They look like a model suddenly.
They look miles better than you do. Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, the old Barnsley butterfly.
I never gave you a chance. They've just got their partners hot. Go on.
I think the old Barnsley butterfly is either just a pigeon or,
very good, Gav.
A violent scissor tackle from behind.
Nice. The old Barnsley butterfly. That's very good.
Oh, he's giving him the old Barnsley butterfly.
Yeah, I give it the old Barnsley butterflies. Anyone who thinks they're awesome at swimming, but absolutely awful with way too much splash. You know, just what kids do in any sort of pool that's next door to your villa.
Yeah.
That's Sarah isolating in Carl Shorten. Doesn't everyone?
I said a pigeon early, Johnny, but I got it wrong. Andy in Lincoln has correctly pointed out that the old Barnsley butterfly is, in fact, a kestrel.
Nice. Barnsley butterfly, a two-handed slap on the face, just like the old tango back in the day. Yeah, that's right. That's when they didn't mind. Giles in Northwich. That was just before the golden age of what they called happy slapping, which was awful. Go on.
Graham gives us the old Barnsley butterfly is a double lamb chop topped with some kind of random chopped herbs.
Okay, I've got some great... That's great. Thank
well,
you
that's a Barnsley chop anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much from Graham Robert. Okay, you ready for this, guys? This is an absolute... this is from Badger in Ipswich, who's a pro. He's hovering round the top table.
Yeah.
The old Barnsley butterfly, a plastic bag in the wind. Here's another one. The old Barnsley butterfly, that massive bloke who looks dead tough but speaks with an extremely effeminate voice, like Mike Tyson is a good example at Skelts in Stafford. He's absolutely right. I used to know a bloke called Carl who was just like that.
And he was terrifying
he was
massive, to look at.
Massive, yeah. I once knew a bloke called The Crusher. His name was The Crusher. Crush, what are you doing over there?
And he had a really high voice.
Massive.
Wow.
Massive. He's only wear pit boots. Yeah, go on, Gav.
Scott says the old Barnsley butterfly is that small patch of hair some people have on their chest.
That's nice. The old lower back tattoo, Juan Patrice says in Perth. Also, the old Barnsley butterfly is that guy who doesn't like gravy on his chips.
That he doesn't like gravy.
I tell you what else I've just thought
That's of. That's from Philip. Thanks, Philip.
I've just thought of one. Are you ready?
Go on.
That northern barman,
yeah,
who's just... moves around pubs in a certain area of London.
Right.
And you know it's always sad because he's found he's been, you know, slightly...
being moved on,
well,
yeah.
A few bottles of Jack Daniels have got missing at end at night or he's been caught on the tackle.
Yeah.
And suddenly, he just moves.
And he shows up in
a
different
pub. You're working here now. And you go, yeah, I had to leave the other place, you know, I got a bit... And you know, you're thinking, how can they keep doing this without any reference? Because I've known this guy at six pubs. And then eventually he turns up, he's a manager.
Yeah.
You're managing this one, no. Yeah. That's the old Barnsley butterfly.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Do you know what? You know I'm a massive fan of Sports Direct. I've made no secret about it.
Sure, okay? Sure.
No secret whatsoever. But Sports Direct have pulled off, I think, about the canniest ever piece of marketing.
What have they done? Go on.
Maybe in the history of marketing. What they've done is they've upped their prices. They've upped their prices just slightly. They've been accused of upping prices.
Price gouging.
In this. Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Price gouging, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is if you sort of go through it, you sort of think, have they actually done this, or is this just very, very clever, is this clever marketing? I'll give you an example, yeah?
Go on.
Sports Direct has put up the price of some fitness equipment, such as skipping ropes, weights, and punch bags, by as much as 2/3, right?
Right.
But it's a leaked internal document. Because they're expecting people obviously going to have a lot more, because they can't go to gyms, they're going to be working out at home.
And it's not a damning leak, as usually they are?
No, it still shows that prices are still rock bottom. Listen to this.
Go on.
No, listen to this. I mean, principally, nothing you read here, you still don't think, what a rip-off. And that's why I think Ashley's a genius.
Okay, go
Get
on.
Get this. He says, well, for instance... an Everlast 4-kilogram kettlebell was $9.99, is $14.99. Still sounds pretty reasonable. Kettlebell's quite heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound ridiculous.
You get bang for your buck there. It's not like you...
You do, yeah. Yeah.
Get this. A Lonsdale Fitstrike punch bag was $51.99, now $74.99. Still a great deal.
Yeah. Yeah. They're basic. That's an advert.
It's an advert.
That's an ad.
Genius.
Masquerading as a damning leak.
Okay, they put their prices up, but what's amazing about it is you look at it thinking, firstly, Christ, it was cheap before.
Yes. Yes.
They've only put it up on a few selected goods. What's the rest like?
Yeah.
But here's one. Here's another one. Lonsdale skipping ropes was $2.99. Now is $4.99. Yeah, under a fiver.
Yeah, really cheap.
Yeah.
Less than a pint.
Less than a pint. It's genius. Wow. It's a great time. Just mark your products up slightly.
Yeah. If you've got pretend really it's outrageous. Cheap,
pretend to be outrageous.
And all the papers will talk about it.
I mean, are you aware? I mean, okay, it's still just at $9.99, it's still a bargain. It's still a must-have buy. As long as they haven't marked up, doesn't say about how much giant calculators are.
Right. What about big mugs and white toweling socks in a 24 multi-pack?
Doesn't say. I would think, Gav, they still that the scandal is most of their prices still remain at rock bottom.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yeah.
I've just been reading about here's a real problem. Do you know, sometimes when you've got a problem like this, it's a bit like how Brexit eclipsed politics for so long.
Yeah.
You know, for like 4 years. It's
yeah, normal domestic issues took a backseat, yeah.
And you're sort of thinking, well, at least coronavirus has sort of helped out newspapers to fill the Brexit gap.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, for these few months since January the 31st.
Yes.
They haven't done anything.
Nothing.
It's been real. It's been flab.
Been just, time for it, yeah.
It's a bit like after Diana passed, they had nothing to fill that Diana gap.
Yeah.
And they were sort of, thank God, Posh and Becks came along.
Right.
To sort of fill the expansive gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here's something we because they're focusing so much on the coronavirus, and rightly,
yeah.
Some things, you know, you got to flick through the paper a bit. I've got to trawl a bit deeper.
Just to find some other kind of news, yeah.
How about this? This is something you never expected to read. Sharks in Australia. Their numbers are getting so out of control.
What, more sharks than they want?
Yes.
You're kidding.
It's really out of control that fishermen, they're not catching any fish anymore because everyone's so like, oh no, save the sharks. I'm not saying that's my view.
Yeah.
I'm saying, oh no, I'm at the sharks.
Like sharks. They're my favourite fish.
No, they're not.
They're not.
You never go to the seaside, you don't go in the sunshine. They're not.
No, that's the point. It's their gaff.
Can I just say, Gav, when it comes to shark, man is on his menu.
Yeah, I know. And I respect
some sharks. On some sharks, yeah.
You can't have a sea without white sharks. Come on, they're awesome.
I know, Gav, I absolutely agree. People don't realise there's great white sharks in the Med. They don't realise that the biggest great white shark ever discovered is off the coast of Sicily.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I like the Humvees of the sea. They're brilliant.
Sorry if that's a double blow for the Mediterranean tourist industry this summer. Fishermen are losing up to 70% of their catch along Queensland's. Guess how long the coast of Queensland is?
No idea. 1,000
miles. 4,000 miles.
Joking.
Australia's just...
It's massive.
Fast.
Yeah, it's massive.
Well, it's bigger than the USA.
Yeah.
Not quite, but I'm exaggerating.
Mm.
But I think actually Perth to Sydney going across is the same as New York to Los Angeles. But you'll have looked that up by the time this is finished.
Okay.
they say the increase in the shark population has been driven by campaigns to protect them and the decision by the government a decade ago to halve the quota for commercial shark catches. We've gone from catching tons of fish to a couple of fish a day, said Michael Thompson, chairman of the Fisherman's Portal, which represents 250 commercial fishermen in Queensland. As every single commercial fisherman will tell you, there's massive shark problems on the entire coastline, mate. Right. How about that, Gav?
That is amazing.
You never thought that would happen?
No. I always assumed they were just killing off the sharks too fast and they weren't going to be able to build up.
Peter Bowman, I'm really disappointed in the standard of names here. There's no Shane Mahoney here.
Oh,
there's no Brett Mahoney.
No Brett O'Malley.
Yeah, or Daryl Fitzpatrick. It's none of those new name with old Irish name, which I really like. None of those. But anyway, Peter Bowman, a trawler operator in Bundaberg, Queensland, has tied stainless steel chains to the end of his nets, known as cod ends. The reason he's put cod ends there, he says, "Hey, mate, I've got 30 sharks following us out at any one time." That's what he says.
That's exactly how he said it.
He says, "They stay away from our cod ends. They don't like the noise of steel." So they don't like the noise of steel. But he's saying they used to be full, and now they're just literally three or four fish at a time. So I'm just saying, no matter what you're going through, just think of those Aussie fishermen out there.
Perth to Sydney is much longer than New York to Los Angeles.
There you go.
By 1,000 kilometres longer.
Really?
Yeah, much longer.
Do you know, so I called someone a BSer when they told me that. I said, come on.
More like 1,200 kilometres.
Really?
Yeah, much longer.
I know, if you imagine Australia, if you lifted that on the Earth and you look at the moon, you can place that exactly in it.
Wow.
That's the same diameter. Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing. Someone texted to say what, Gav?
Texted in to tell us about what they've discovered. Which one are you talking about? Ah, you're talking about Liam in Swaffham.
I love
sorry.
It. I love it.
Swaffham, yeah. You really
which
threw
one,
me. Yeah.
Which one were you talking about?
Hi, then? Johnny. I just had to pop to the shops. This is Liam in Swaffham. And missed you telling me that we can relax and you'll take it from here. So could you please say it again?
Do you know what? You can relax back. TJ's got this. I'm going to take this from here, yeah? And that's going out to the whole of Britain, yeah?
Sure.
Because I've got shoulders broad enough for y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Not just broad enough for y'all, but broad enough for all of y'all of y'all.
If you will.
If you will. Okay, Gav.
Go on.
I've been finding out some amazing things about my house. One, I've programmed the central heating and hot water now.
No, you haven't.
Before, I used to just keep the, what's the electric one? The
thermostat.
No, you know, the immersion heater.
Oh, yes,
I just
yes,
keep
yes.
that on.
The giant kettle.
Yeah, the giant kettle. It just honestly costs so much. But, yeah, because it's a flat, we're all on the same system. They can't separate it.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Although they have stopped me running an extension off the landing plug.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because it's common power.
It's common
power.
You're
not supposed
to be using
it.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I made a massive discovery in my house.
What you discovered?
I had bifold doors fitted about 2 years ago.
What's bifold doors?
Those big open doors at the back of your house. Big glass doors.
Oh, right. I know. Right? Yeah.
And the closing it took so much force that I then ended up yanking the handle off.
Oh, man.
After 2 weeks. After 2 years.
Don't even talk to me. My last ones at the house I sold, they just kept messing up. Make a note of what you're about to say. Despite the guy who sold me them saying, these are like the Mercedes of patio doors. I'm thinking, wrong, because my Mercedes never went wrong.
That's
and that
right.
was a 1981 280 CE.
Well, I had the handle replaced by a locksmith, and he said, oh, no, you can just adjust where the latch is, left to right.
Oh, man.
Now I can close it with one finger.
Yeah.
And all I needed was for that to happen at the start, and I wouldn't have yanked my door handle.
Okay, can I just say to you, though, be very careful about who you teach about adjusting things.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I'm not saying it's about women particularly.
Right.
But I'm convinced that they're the slammers around the house. They ruin things.
Yes.
They really do. If it doesn't work, I'll just force it.
Yeah.
And this is actually the mystery of why. You know, like washing machine doors go, or dishwasher doors go, because they wouldn't go. So what'd you do? Well, I just kept banging it.
That's right. It's funny you say that. That's kind of what happened.
Yes.
Because
I'm not psychic. I know your missus.
I had a knack.
She's like one of the Furies.
Whereas Lara was using proper force.
Yeah, she's one of the Furies.
Two hands.
Yeah.
Leaning back like she was in a stern
wind.
Yeah,
absolutely right. So I might. Yeah. So you hear these things and you sort of think, hey, what's that banging I keep hearing downstairs? What is that banging? She said, no, I just kick it shut.
Yeah.
Is it getting harder doing that? Yeah, no, it won't shut unless I really boot it.
And now it's worse and worse.
Well, okay, here's the story for you.
Go on.
This is something that I can't believe someone's actually discovered. Are you ready?
Yep.
Gets to place in paper. Ofcom has advised people looking to boost their internet speeds. Now, you know about in showers?
Yeah.
If you're having a shower and someone turns the cold tap on, you get all the hot, yeah?
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
Go on.
People.
What do you do? What do you do?
Are you ready, people? Do you think that's a good thing I should start doing?
I like it, yeah.
Do you like people?
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
It's not good. Anyway, Ofcom has advised people looking to boost their internet speeds while working from home during the coronavirus lockdown not to use the microwave oven when they make a video call.
Wow.
Yeah, it interferes with your Wi-Fi signal.
It really does.
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll slow it down.
Oh, my God.
The country's leading telecom networks have reported a surge of up to 20% in daytime internet use in recent weeks, but insist they've got enough capacity to deal with increased demand. I don't know. 83936, please, tell us anything you've discovered while locked down in your house. You didn't know it was there. As I say, I've managed to program my heating system. I found a hoodie that I'd lost ages ago. It was in between the, you know, those drawers that go under the bed?
Yeah.
You know, that you sort of on a double bed.
Yeah.
In between, there's like a no man's land.
Right.
Yeah, they're in there. I've just got a few of my favourite things. My favourite shoes, my favourite summer shoes, a pair of swimmers. I'm thinking swimmers. And do you know what I suddenly realised?
What?
It's Jeff, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Jeff's been dragging stuff
there. He's hoarding stuff.
Yeah, because that's where he goes when it's raining. He doesn't go there for a walk. He goes right under the bed because he knows I can't find him. Barry, that's the position I call. He's Barry Wardrobe.
He really is.
Yeah, so
Jeffrey, stop it.
Unbelievable.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav, have we had a lot of people texting in telling us about things that have surprised them in
previously undiscovered things?
Yeah, go on.
Well, Rich in Essex says, after taking an axe to the decking in our new house, I was able to find the pond pump electrics and reconnect it after 6 months.
Wow, so, man.
I'm very proud.
That's great work.
Really good. Nicola in Tilsley in Manchester says she found out her husband can do DIY.
Wow.
Ronnie in Hither Green.
It's something a lot of blokes like to say, of course I can do DIY, while never demonstrating.
Yeah, exactly. Ronnie in Hither Green found his Hoover, which he didn't know where it was.
Wow, man, that's a
Simon says...
How big's the house?
Simon says, I've discovered in my house the kitchen expel-air fan can blow as well as suck the air out by switching a switch on the controller that was hidden until now.
That's amazing, man.
That's brilliant.
I mean, so far I've heard nothing as impressive as when I found out how I could turn on and off that thing that does automatic travel and traffic news in your car.
Oh, yeah.
On the radio.
On the radio, yeah.
Yeah, it's a button that says TF.
Yes.
And you can just turn on, because I had this...
Was it always interrupting?
Yeah, I was thinking, why are you... I'm not even in Bedford. Yeah, right. It's meant to do, like, local stuff. It really annoyed me. I found out, someone says, if you don't want it, you just turn it off. I was like, you're kidding me? Just like that.
That's
anyway,
brilliant.
Here's Lisa in Scarborough. She says, thank you very much for this, incidentally, Lisa. I've discovered that my windows are actually not sepia effect after cleaning them. Interesting. Smoker, are you? Go on, Gav.
Jade in Rochdale says, I've discovered when I turn my electric hob on that rather than having to press the plus button 9 times to get it to the highest temperature, if you just turn on and press the minus button once, it goes straight to the highest temperature.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Life-changing.
See what you've done there.
Brilliant.
See what you've done there.
Yeah.
I found, and this is from Rich in Essex. Thank you very much, Rich. I found an integrated freezer after 5 months in the house. It is in the cupboard next to an integrated fridge.
Okay.
We use the fridge as a booze fridge, but we've also got a freestanding fridge. That's
wow.
Rich in Essex. Rich, do you say that? I've discovered something in my fridge as well.
What?
Well, I got my dad to buy me
an ice-making
machine.
Right.
It was the cheapest one, I found out, John Lewis.
Yeah.
And also, Dad, if you're listening, there's no way that took you 3 hours to select it, because I found out it's the only one they have in that branch in Peterborough.
And it pops up when you Google it.
So you couldn't have spent 3 hours there anyway.
No,
he went to the shop.
Oh, did he?
Of course he did, yeah. That's where my dad browses. He browses the world. Anyway, the point is, I went into my fridge today.
Yeah.
And I realised that in the compartment where I keep the ice, there is an ice-making machine.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't have to get it working.
Yeah,
because it's not working,
and
maybe it's probably not even plumbed. You'll get a fresh water source. But exciting stuff. This is Will from an undisclosed area. Every time I walk past my wife's 2 computer screens, she has the smallest for work, whereas the biggest always has non-related work stuff on it, like designing a quiz.
And other important things.
Yeah, thank you very much, Will, from that undisclosed area. Obviously, as well as if you are self-isolating, keep it undisclosed where you are. Gav, what you got?
Jane in Manchester says, while having some electrical work done on our house, the electrician discovered the living room ceiling lights were wired in with speaker wire.
No, wow, man.
Speaker wire.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not safe.
Well, at least turn it up.
Yeah, right. Also, I discovered, you know what? You know, I thought the lights on my bathroom mirror didn't work.
Yeah.
I've discovered it's just wired up the wrong way.
Really?
And in the top, there's a little string coming out, and you can turn them on and off. Unbelievable. I didn't do it because I was going to change the bulbs. I suddenly thought, what's this string? And that's meant to hang down.
Wow.
Sorry, it's all coming back. This is from John in Kingston. Hello, John. I've discovered that my cat, Beast, doesn't actually leave the house at all, despite having a cat flap and garden to play in. No wonder he struggles to keep the weight off. Lizzie. Thank you so much. Go on, Gav. Here's the last one.
This is from Matty. Matty says, my domestic discovery today, while scratching around in the freezer for something edible to eat, I noticed for the first time that sandwich thins are actually called sandwich thins, not sandwich things, as I'd incorrectly been calling them for 10 years.
Mental, he says. He actually says, mental.
Sandwich
you,
things.
You old cheesy quaver. Thank you, Matty.
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing. Absolutely live on Radio X. Stay indoors, stay safe. Just say, that's enough heroics. Yeah, I'm all for no heroics, but Here we go. Here's some of the wonderful stories I've seen today in the national newspapers, which I trawl through. Actually, Gav, I'm getting much more newspaper than normal because there's hardly anyone.
No one else is using
skeleton
it
teams
first.
Ever. That's so, right. Yeah. So other stations haven't got them. I've got a newspaper. The whole thing's intact. I've got great big holes in pages.
It hasn't been torn and wow.
Get this. Solicitors have refused to attend some police stations due to concerns about the virus. That's irrelevant now.
Yeah.
Well, it's not relevant, you know, obviously, but this one lawyer has described police at one station. He said they've got a very cavalier attitude. No, I'd love it if there was a police station where they were, like cavaliers.
What,
like,
with the wigs on?
With
them?
Long hair.
Big curly hair.
Yeah.
And sort of love hearts.
Very big bows around
the cheekbone.
No, that's Georgian dandies. That's very different to cavaliers.
Right,
yeah,
right,
this is much more just long hair. They look like Twisted Sister, virtue. Just really...
Big thigh-high riding boots.
Yes.
With the big
but
sort
all
of
in,
turnovers
but
on
all
them.
In that sort of police navy blue.
Yeah.
But just very cavalier.
They're the sort of Puss in Boots boots, aren't they?
Yeah. You go down the station, big feathers coming out of their helmets. You sit down.
Silk frock coats.
You sit down there and they barely take their eyes off the feast as you're reporting a crime. Put it down there. They all just sit, they look up with just chicken grease around their
moving their rapier swords out of the way.
Yes. Did you hear the screams of someone on a rack for confessions?
Oh,
I'd just
man.
Like it if there was a police station with cavalier attitudes.
That's just one particular constabulary
Just
very
we'll go
cavalier.
Down there. Well, they're quite a cavalier bunch down there.
All horse mounted as well.
Mounted police!
Well, that's a cavalier, isn't
that's it?
A chevalier.
I think there's 120 horses, police horses in London. I think the Met's got about 90, then the City of London's got about 25.
Yeah. And it's football and riots mainly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I'd love it if it was cavalier policing. That's how
definite,
they went.
Especially at the football.
You, sir. Stop, sir.
Unhand him, sir.
Yes. Give unto me what is mine. Fining people who have to give up a little suede bag, a little kid skin bag.
A purse with coins in.
Now away with you. Radio X. I should apologise, but it's time for me really to... Codsall. At the start of every week, we adopt a pet town. On Monday, we adopted town 205, Codsall, in South Staffordshire. Do you know, Gav, Staffordshire has given more people join the special forces from that county than all other counties just about put together.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know why?
Why?
It's local. No, Herefordshire's
I
local.
Always assumed they were all Scots.
No, they're nearly all Staff lads, aren't they?
Okay.
Well, Staff lads. Well, it's like the dogs, isn't it?
Yeah.
They got that about them.
Yeah.
It's a Larry County, Gav. Oh, you
they breed them hench.
You can come unstuck
in
Staffordshire. It's now time for Radio's shortest running, lowest scoring, least engaging, civic based, true or false challenge, the Pet Town Quiz. Gav, your buzzer, please.
In honour of Julius Caesar. That's a cricket ball being larruped.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Julius Caesar is a cricketer. Just thinking he's being madder than usual. And hopefully on the line, shall we meet her? Is Sunta there?
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Sunta Templeton.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. How's the self-isolation going? Have you been a couch-bound hero?
No, I've been working from home today.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where do you sit when you do the bulletins?
Well, I've not been bulletining. I've been setting up interviews. And
oh, have you?
Sitting at my kitchen table.
Okay.
With my laptop propped up on 1, 2, 3, 4 books.
Okay.
Nice.
That's quite a picture.
Yeah.
Also, thanks for that photo you sent me. I bought this Mexican Elvis statuette.
Right.
And I was a bit worried. But I was a bit worried Sunta wasn't giving it. I gave it to Sunta. I was a bit worried she wasn't giving it prime, you know, a prime spot. But do you know where it is?
Where?
It's next to a Dolly. What's it? A Dolly Parton?
A candle. But like it's got a Mexican as well.
She's put it
pride
next
of
to,
place.
She's put it next to her Mexican. Oh, John, Sunta, when I saw that, I started crying. I thought, wow, man, talk about a prime spot. It's next to the Dolly Parton Mexican candle.
Wow.
Oh, man. Right, are we ready for this, Dr. Sunta Templeton? Have you got a buzzer?
Yeah, this is my Cuban maracas.
Nice.
Matron. All right, Gav, you hit the balls.
Yes.
Sunta, well...
She's got the maracas.
Shake her Cuban maracas.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. You see, Sunsis, can I just say, you've either got it or you haven't in this crazy business. And anyone that can get a big laugh, yeah, down a phone line with maracas.
Yeah.
Crazy timing. Crazy timing. Right, here's the rules. You must wait for me to finish before answering true or false. It's 1 point for a correct answer. You will lose a point for every incorrect answer. Last time we played, you lost very heavily, Sunsis Templeton. And I am glad, I hope, actually, we're going to play this under, I don't know, slightly, a bit more humour.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a bit ugly last time. You really did sulk.
We're playing football in the no man's land today.
It is.
Yeah.
A game of Christmas football in no man's land. That's how I like to see it. I doubt Sunsis will, though. Here we go. Let's play the Pet Town Quiz. Okay. True or false, Alan Bennett's butcher shop won Midlands' best speciality sausage at the National Barbecue Awards 2017. Gav?
False.
It's true.
Oh.
Don't you dare, Sunter. True or false? In 2014, Codsall Cricket Club First 11 posted one of the worst ever scores in the history of cricket after being bowled out for just 3 runs. I think Sunter's in there first.
True.
It's false, Sunter. Come on. Someone's been bowled out for 3 runs.
I don't understand cricket.
Yeah, you don't have to, Sunter. You've been reporting it for long enough to know that would be extraordinary. Be 3 for 11. Sorry, 10. Okay, here we go. Rookie error there. True or false? The Furs in Codsall has unfortunately had to cancel its Peaky Blinders themed night. Gav.
True.
It is true, yes.
Yes.
True or false? Darts legend Phil the Power Taylor has recently overtaken local farmer Jeff Clevedon to be the biggest landowner in Codsall. Sunter's right in there.
False.
It is false! Is this
what was that name? Jeff Clevedon.
Yeah, Jeff Clevedon. Yeah, I know. It's pathetic. It's zero. Is it nil-nil? Oh, happy days.
No shortage of incidents.
How long have we been running this? How long the quiz? How long has this been lasting now? How long are we going for? 5 minutes? 5 minutes, nil-nil.
Wow.
Oh, man, this game, it's just...
They can't shut us down, John.
They say the Eton Wall game is a low scoring. A lot of tension, a lot of pain about... Literally, sometimes... They haven't scored a goal for like 60 years or something. But... True or false? Last year, the Codsall Beer Festival... sorry, I'm going to stop there. Sorry, hang on. Whoever gets this, remember, is going to win this, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is it. It's nil-nil at the moment. Yeah.
Winner takes all.
This is the winner takes all.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
If you want to shout me rather than use your buzzer, since it's a bit more distinct, just to say that, all right?
Okay.
Sometimes that, because your noise, your maracas sound a bit like Gav's cricket balls.
Sure.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Okay.
True or false? Last year, the Codsall Beer Festival ran out of beer on the third day. Gav's in there first.
True.
Unlucky, Sunts.
Yes.
Unlucky. Unlucky.
Phone line, there was a lot of breaking up.
Oh, come on.
God, excuses.
No gloating, no snivelling.
No.
We follow. No, fader down. We follow. No, actually, don't. Sons, thanks so much for joining us. We miss you very much. See you soon, I hope.
See you soon, definitely.
All right, take care. Lots of love. Sons, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, Sons.
We love you, Sons. Miss you. That was Dr. Sons. Well done, Gav.
Thank you so much.
Kicked her ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Radio X. That was the 4 Till 7 Thang podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4 Till 7 Thang downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Obviously, it's got to be a device that can take it on. Cause,
yes, you know, yeah, it won't just go to your toaster.
Or electric drill.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Not going to happen.
Although, those days will happen.
Oh, yeah.
When we work smarter.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. You download it to your fridge. So yeah. You open the door and the sound comes out. You can continue
absolutely,
listening.
Absolutely, yeah.
There we go. Until then.
My oven is full of podcasts.
Yes. No, I generally listen when I'm cooking because I download all podcasts to my extractor fan.
My extractor.
Booms it out. I've got some big speaker. I don't know. They use the air.
It looks like a big speaker. Yeah,
there's a big Leslie motor in there and it wafts it. Anyway, if you're stuck at home getting bored, don't forget, there's 207 more podcasts.
Wow. Fill your boots.
Yeah, right. Gav, that's 8.5 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's eight.
What a box set experience that would be.
That's 8.5 days worth of solid ice-free entertainment for you to enjoy.
Wow.
There really is no excuse. Finally, as always, if you want to get in touch, just email johnny@radiox.co.uk. And there'll be no one whatsoever to deal with that at the moment. Radio X.